Good morning, and welcome to the Cox Automotive Sales Day call. My name is Zanara, and I'll be the operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Ms. Dara Hills. Dara, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to September. Thank you all for joining this month's Cox Automotive Sales Day conference call. This is Dara Hills with the Cox Automotive Public Relations team, and today we're joined by Charlie Chesbrough, Senior Economist for Cox Automotive, and Michelle Krebs, Executive Analyst for Auto Trader. They'll provide an economic update and analysis based on August sales results, followed by a Q&A session. Now I'll turn the call over to Charlie.
All right. Well, thank you, and thank you to everybody for joining us today. We're still getting the numbers as they're coming in. We're still waiting on a few big OEMs to report their figures. But thus far, it looks like vehicle sales are coming in pretty close to where expectations were for the month, maybe just a hair below. Our forecast was around a 16.8 million SAR, and it's looking like the market's coming in around a 16.6, 16.7 range. It's hard to know yet without everybody reporting. But clearly a strong market for light vehicles, but a little bit down from the pace that we've been running year to date. Vehicle sales have been running at a 17.1 million sales rate through the year, and this is the second month in a row we've been going below that. And that really falls in line with what our view is of the market, which is even though we have all of this fantastic, strong economic information, low unemployment rates and stock markets at record highs, that's not translating into record vehicle sales. And in fact, we saw the peak in vehicle sales back in 2016. And since then, we've been feeling like the headwinds have been growing for new vehicle sales. And that appears to be continuing over the summer here as vehicle sales appear to be ticking down from the pace that they've been running so far this year. I think the other surprising thing is that we should have probably seen more strength this month, at least on a year-over-year comparison basis. When we think back to August of 2017, we had those hurricanes, Hurricane Harvey in Texas, which was really quite detrimental and really impacted vehicle sales around the Houston area quite severely. And in addition to that, we have this year, the first day of the Labor Day weekend actually fell within the August reporting month. And so we would expect vehicle sales to be quite a bit higher this year versus the August of last year. And we're just not seeing that. And I think that that suggests that there is some weakness out there in the market. And that's really not surprising. We know interest rates are significantly higher. And the expectation is that those interest rates are going to go even higher through the course of this year. The Federal Reserve Bank meets at the end of September. I believe it's September 25th and 6th. To decide on the next interest rate change, and the consensus view is that they are going to continue to raise interest rates at that meeting. And that means monthly payments for car buyers are just going to get that much more difficult to meet. And so really very few surprises so far this month, other than the market not being a little bit stronger than what we might have been expected otherwise. One of the things that may be going on behind the scenes is a little bit of pull-ahead activity from car shoppers. We've seen in the used market, vehicle prices have really taken off over the course of the summer, and a lot of that coincided with the president's talk of implementing import tariffs on vehicles. A lot of dealers around the country, we think, are trying to acquire some inventory on used cars because they think those car values are going to go up quite a bit as their new vehicle counterparts have these tariff taxes put on them. And so we've seen some pull-ahead activity as dealers try to acquire inventory. We may be seeing some of that on the new vehicle side as well as consumers are trying to get ahead of these potential tariffs that are coming to market. We already know that the steel and aluminum tariffs have had an impact on vehicle prices, probably contributing to a couple hundred dollars to an increase in prices. And I think consumers are hearing a lot of noise out there about the likelihood that vehicle prices are going to continue to rise. And they may be trying to get in ahead of that if the president does go forward with these tariffs. And I would say in general, there's very little reason for a consumer to wait at this point. It's hard to see any situation where vehicle prices at the end of the year are going to be substantially lower than they are today, particularly with interest rates expected to be a couple of or 25 or 50 basis points higher from where they are right now. So the buying conditions are expected to deteriorate, which may cause consumers to get into the market today rather than wait. So with that, I'll hand it over to Michelle to give you a little bit more detail on what we're seeing in the numbers.
Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Charlie. I guess if I were writing the headline, I would say that this is the first time we believe car share is going to fall below 30%. As Charlie said, we don't have all the numbers in, but that certainly looks like the case. We had thought maybe that it would be at 30% at the end of the year. It's dipping below that. And if you think about 5 years ago, the car share was at 50% of the market. So that's the big story. And if you go through, and at the same time, we're seeing the opposite be the case with sport utilities and pickup trucks. If you go through company by company, we got Honda in early, we got Honda and Toyota in early, and, you know, when you look at bestsellers like the Toyota Camry and Honda Accord, and they've posted double-digit declines, that tells you where the traditional car market is going, and all the other makers are, as far as we can see, are posting much lower car sales. You know, Ford's a great example. It's back to being a largely truck company. It had an outstanding month for trucks, 81,000 F-150 sold, but cars were down significantly. And you go automaker by automaker, Acura, MDX, RDX, Honda Pilot, good months, but not so much for the cars. Incentives, with the sales pie stagnating, we're seeing automakers targeting incentives, trying to keep owners loyal to the brands, and then trying to steal customers from the competitors. And as Charlie mentioned, we're seeing a lot of pull-aheads, and we're seeing a lot of lease pull-aheads. They seem to be the rage, especially in the luxury market. Now, you know, at some point, that piper will have to be paid, all that pull-ahead. The question we're wondering is when. So inventory seem to be in check, so we aren't seeing lavish incentives. They don't seem to be out of control. I think that's about all I have to say overall. I think let's have you guys ask questions.
Yes, so we're going to start the Q&A session, and the operator will give instructions on how to ask a question.
Thank you so much. We will now begin the question-answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. There will be a slight delay before the first question is announced. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. Waiting on standby for questions. And our first question comes from Nathan Beaumont from USA Today. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Nathan.
Hey, guys. Hey. I think you're right, obviously, about Ford becoming a truck brand, it seems, or a truck company. But do you see that happening essentially across the board for the domestic automakers? I mean, Fiat Chrysler obviously having got rid of most of the small cars. What about GM? I mean, at one point, do you think they will have come full circle, all three?
Well, I think, you know, GM's going to have to make some decisions. Obviously, we don't see all of their numbers, and I would have to believe, you know, they didn't have a great car month either. If Toyota and Honda don't, I can't imagine that GM does as well. And, you know, they have been laying people off that work at car plants, so I think there will have to be some decisions made about how much car capacity they keep, how many car products they keep. You know, they have been bolstering their crossover lines, and, of course, they're launching the new truck. How far they go, you know, how low they go in terms of their portfolios with cars, I'm not real clear.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those decisions are probably in the works.
So if we could go real quick clarity on the 30% market share, for less than 30% for cars, is that for August only, or is that year to date?
August only.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's the first time we've seen that happen. Last month it was at 30.5. We think it might be around 29% this month.
Wow. Okay, so I guess
how low can that all go?
Right. Well, that was my question. Was going to be if 30 is possible, is 20 possible? I mean, like how it doesn't seem like we've hit the bottom yet, obviously.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. We probably have not seen the bottom yet, but there probably is a floor at some point at which it'd be very difficult for car share to go below. There are people out there, believe it or not, who do like cars and would prefer to buy a car. You just don't hear much about them anymore, but they do exist. And I think the other thing is that the industry doesn't want to get caught flat-footed. Gas prices will go up again. They always do. And if we had another situation where we were looking at $4 gasoline and no cars in your portfolio, you're going to, there's a lot of consumers that are going to go back and looking into low-cost transportation options, and you're going to want to have a product available for them that they can consider. And so I think that's one of the things that the domestic manufacturers have to be really careful about, that they don't think that the situation we have right now is permanent, that gas prices could change on a dime. And people, as well as our own view is that affordability is going to be a growing issue for vehicles, as it has been. It's going to continue to deteriorate. It's going to get more and more difficult with interest rates going higher. Meeting that monthly payment is going to be more and more of a challenge for many car buyers. And having a lower cost alternative of that car on the platform versus the SUV on that platform, it may be something that they're going to want to have that car product available to get those consumers that can't afford the SUV version of that.
And I would add to that, think about the demographics of the market, because you've got the millennial and the Gen Z buyers that's a good, if they're moving into the new car market at all, that's often the starting point of, subcompact cars, compact cars.
Yeah, no, I guess I just wonder if they just nudge those buyers into small crossovers instead, and if the fuel economy is not much different, because it's like, Apple, there were people who still wanted an iPod, and then Apple stopped making the iPod because eventually there weren't enough of them. So there's still people out there who want one. There may still be people out there who want a small car, but like, there's no guarantee the automakers have to fulfill that. I mean, if they can get them into small crossovers, why wouldn't they?
But the small crossovers are still a little more expensive. Now, will that always be the case? We think there's going to be more competition, and that if you're introducing a new crossover, no matter what size, they've been generating pretty good average transaction prices. But with more competition, and competition from ones coming off lease, the ATPs may not be as high going forward.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Nathan.
Yep.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Joe Overby from Auto Remarketing. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, guys. On the retail side, how long do you see this strength in used car sales lasting? I mean, is this, in some comments earlier last week, Charlie, you mentioned that there may be some headwinds next year. How long do you think this used car strength could last in terms of sales?
I think, our view is it's going to go on for quite some time. As we've said, on the new car side, affordability is going to become a greater and greater issue, that many consumers just can't afford to get into that new vehicle. So the used car market becomes their lower cost alternative. And the used car market itself is really constrained by supply. The strength that we've seen in the U.S. economy means that there's fewer repossessions. They're not feeding into the auto auctions, as well as dealers themselves are keeping vehicles. They're not turning them into auction because they can sell these crossovers as they come off lease. And so that's making some of the supply to the auctions themselves a little bit limited, which has been supporting prices. And then in the background of all of that, you have the recession from 10 years ago when we sold, 10 million vehicles in 2009 and 11 million or 12 million in 2010 and 11, that's far below the rates that we normally do, and that's leaving a big gap in used vehicle supply for those, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old vehicles, which means a lot of car dealers out there have to buy newer vehicles for their inventory than they might have done otherwise, which is also supporting higher vehicle prices. So in terms of the vehicle price, I think this is going to go on for quite some time. And I think the affordability issue with how expensive new cars are getting means that used cars are going to become a real attractive option and continue to be an attractive option for car buyers going forward.
I'd add two things, too. The other source of used cars is rental car fleets, and we know they aren't buying as many. The other thing is the mix is far more desirable for consumers because a lot of the vehicles coming off lease now are sport utilities versus cars, and that's exactly what the buyers are looking for. So, and you haven't seen the peak of off-lease vehicles. That comes next year, I think.
Yeah, our expectation is that's next year in terms of volume.
To help you out?
Well, thanks, guys. Yes, it does.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Eric Lawrence from Detroit Free Press. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi
guys. How's it going? Hey, I just have a quick question about the FCA numbers. I see that Charger and Challenger are way down. I was wondering if that was just the standard, kind of the weakness in the car market, or if it's something specific, especially with Charger, like down 45% for the month. That mm-hmm. seems pretty high.
I haven't looked closely at that.
It seemed like that in recent months they hadn't, and maybe I hadn't seen the last month or so, but it hadn't been quite so dramatic.
You're right. I don't know. I guess I would say part of the car mix. I don't know if they have anything product wise going on. You look at the 300, that's down a lot, and that's got one of the biggest incentives on it, so that's not even doing the trick. That's had a huge incentive on it for quite some time.
Well, and the fleet volume is down significantly for both those vehicles year over year, so I'm sure that's a large part of the reason we're seeing the volumes as weak as they are on those two vehicles.
Yeah, okay. Chrysler's made a specific attempt to lower its daily rental and fleet volume, and so I think that is showing up there, too.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, the Chrysler 300 2018 has a $7,000 customer cash incentive, special lease.
You say $7,000?
Yes.
That is hefty.
And it didn't move the needle.
Okay. Yeah, it just struck me. It seemed kind of high, so I was wondering.
Yeah, good.
Well, just looking at their numbers, the Charger did 4,800 fleet last year, and this year they're doing 629. So that's pretty huge drop in the fleet activity.
So, Eric, I would also point out the Dodge Charger SRT2, whatever it is, 9-2, had a $12,750 customer cash if you leased through Ally Bank or U.S. Bank. So there's another hefty one.
Okay. But then I guess the ones that they are selling, maybe they are getting a little more profitable then.
Couldn't speak to the profitability.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we would assume that backing off a fleet would suggest that your profits are going to be a little bit better.
But I'd be watching those because those are built in Canada, so.
Oh, right.
We don't have a trade agreement with them yet.
Any predictions on that?
Oh. We'll see.
Right. It seems like a bit of a game of chicken going on right now.
Right. Do you think they take it down to the wire?
We passed the wire, aren't we?
Well, in terms of the deadline of presidents, that was Friday. I think in terms for the current Mexican president to formalize that agreement, it's hard to know where this is going, but Canada probably doesn't like getting pushed around like the president's been saying, and so I wouldn't be surprised if they don't push this to the edge as long as they can.
And if you do the math,
they will ultimately
25% here.
Right. They'll come along, though, you assume, right? I mean, they can't.
I would assume, I just don't see how Canada could afford a 25% tariff on all their products if the president actually went forward with that. But I also think that there is, as I said, a game of political chicken going on where a whole bunch of senators from states that do the vast majority of their trading with Canada are going to be adamantly opposed to these tariffs, that they may be trying to force President Trump a little bit to have to deal with some political issues of his own from people within his own party that would be opposed to these tariffs if the president actually implemented them. It's hard to know, but I would be under the assumption, I think Wall Street's been under the assumption, that they'll figure it out, that it's too big a stakes to actually go through with this and leave Canada out of any kind of a North American agreement.
Okay. Well, yeah, like you say, I guess we will see.
Right. Seems like we say that a lot these days.
Right. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Eric.
Take care.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Waiting on standby for additional questions. And we do have a question. This caller did not leave their first and last name. Please state your name, and then you can ask your question.
Hey, hello. This is Gabby from Bloomberg.
Hi, Gabby.
Hi. I apologize. I joined this call very late, so forgive me if somebody already asked this. But I was just wondering, I was just looking at muscle cars. You know, the Mustang did well, but the Charger and the Challenger both had terrible falls in August, and they had been kind of holding up until then. So I was just very granular, but what do you make of, are muscle cars, are they shielded from this sedan death, or not so much?
No, we just had that discussion, Gabby.
Oh, you did? Oh, no, okay.
Yeah, but no, that's okay. Well, you know, we think some of it's fleet. They had a big drop in fleet sales, and those are big fleet cars. But, you know, they are part of the whole car market.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, I think if you're a retail buyer of those, and, you know, we do think the market's tightening a bit, that higher interest rates and a lot of different pressures are going to pull back on retail demand. Those kinds of cars are usually the first to go.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of a discretionary, you know.
Yeah.
Discretionary.
And higher gasoline prices.
Yeah,
I mean, the gasoline prices that we had over Labor Day are the highest we've had in 4 years.
Mm.
And clearly that's going to be a major headwind for those muscle car sales.
Mm. Okay. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. And another one you may have already said. I'm just curious with all the sort of, you know, brand new fancy pricey trucks, going at it now in the market. Do you see those conquesting luxury buyers at all? Like, since they're so nice and some of them are quite expensive, do you see that as sort of, could the luxury pickup trucks pick off anybody from, like, the traditional luxury market?
I haven't seen any data on that. I think most people would say a Mercedes-Benz shopper isn't an F-150 shopper,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sure there's some folks out there, I'm sure there's always consumers for everything that are looking at all different types of products. But I would say in general, the pickup truck market is probably a separate entity than some of these luxury sedans. Now that you may see some, some of the more luxury domestic vehicles, if I'm going to get a people mover, crossover type vehicle versus a minivan or something, you may see some segment shift there. But generally, I would say pickup truck buyers are kind of a self-contained type consumer. They're, they're looking at that functionality, and you just can't get that from luxury vehicles.
But, we have definitely seen the shift away from, in the luxury market, just as we have non-luxury, from cars to sport utility vehicles. It's been just as dramatic there.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
And I'm not showing any further questions at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate your participation today. Please keep an eye out for details on next month's call. And in the meantime, if you need anything at all from Cox Automotive or any of its brands, please contact a member of the public relations team. We're always happy to help you, and we thank you for joining the call today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.